We have been around for almost 90 years, and not a sign of any slowing down.
There is nothing wrong with America that cannot be cured by
WCHV.
What is right with America?
Pain is something that we all grow from, hopefully. I mean, there's really no point in it if you don't grow and learn from it and everything. But some people I have found, as we greet this Thursday morning, make their pain, or make the fact that they have pain, more than that. And it becomes their definition. And I was reading about this group of trans community activists who are going to hold a march on the Supreme Court. And I'm being kind. They're talking about, well, I mean, if you wanted to use the term, if it already hadn't been used in application to other groups, insurrection against the Supreme Court. I'm not sure how that goes, but it's all in reaction to the coverage, to the mean-spirited and homophobic coverage of the national news media, who dared to, even for the little time they did, refer to the shooter in Nashville as a transgender female, male. It varies. I've talked to different people. Well, if you're a male and you identify as a female, then you're a transgender female. But then there were people who tell me the opposite. And so I don't know for sure. I believe that because the young woman identified as a male, that makes her a transgender male. That's just how I define it. But definitions are important. And some people, sadly, find definition in pain, find definition in, that they had an issue with who they are. And somebody said, well, we'll create a place where that's okay to be hateful to who you are naturally. And that begins the whole process that I've said on Monday, breaks us spiritually. And I've been good. you know, there has been periods of time where I wear this out. If this was still on a piece of Mylar tape like it was 36 years ago when my radio career began, I would have worn out seven different iterations of it, and it would sound something akin to only what a dog could hear. But you've heard me play it before. You will hear it played again. Our world is being torn apart because we have mistaken two very important principles of life.
I'm not leaving till I get justice. Well, not exactly justice, I suppose, more like preferential treatment, but I'm not leaving till I get it.
So the idea of justice versus preferential treatment is, in so many places, and it's not just one community, but we all have our things. If I was to say, I want an activist group that says people with long ponytails should get preferential treatment, well, that might make John Grisham and Sissy Spacek and Tony Bennett upset, because there are only two people on the final ballot for the Daily Progress Reader's Choice Award, which, by the way, you can vote in every 24 hours, I find out. Now, there's an interesting paradigm towards election reform. You can vote, just only every 24 hours. Stick a pin in that. I know that's going to trigger some folks. But if you go online to WCHV.com, follow the link, you can vote once every 24 hours. Trust me, I'm up against a social media influencer. And this is old media versus new media. I'm not sure where John Grisham, Sissy Spacek, or Tony Bennett fit into that. But this is mano-e-mano, old media versus new media. But circling back now, circling back, we take ourselves and we break ourselves. And then that break is what we gain our gravity from. It's what we point to for our definition. And I don't think that's a holistic place. I'm not a mental health care professional. But I think defining yourself by the things that are broken in your life is a dangerous place to begin, and an unhealthy one. It's what leads to Munchausen syndrome, and even worse, Munchausen's by proxy, and even worse than that, Munchausen's by government syndrome, which I think we will see manifest outside the Supreme Court. I'm coming up on a break, but I want to let you know I got you here. Being a parent of three, acknowledging somebody's request for attention is always important. Good morning. Who's this?
Morning, Joe. It's Chris. I found out that, you know, when you grow up in the United States of America and you're in the mode of the me generation, you can look back and see where we were, the society was called, that we discriminated against people.
Sure. I mean, as I said, though, I've got to run to a break here, but I just want to let you know I was there, because it sounds like we got a lot to talk about. So
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
That's you and most people who have the radio on can say the same thing. What did you say, Joe? What was that? Yeah. Believe me, my wife says that all the time to me, too. Hang on the line 1 second, and we'll come right to you, and we'll jump right into the me generation and its manifestations here as Chris sets us up for it this morning.
Central Virginia's source for disinformation.
I would say we do take extra precautions.
And dead information.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
WCH.
You know, the hottest show on Russian television this week has to be a PBS special, This Old Reactor, hosted by Yuli Kariarkin. And it can be seen on Open Channel D. You know, it was 6 years ago that a young man with curly hair and horn-rimmed glasses sat behind this very desk and delighted America by proclaiming the 80s to be the Al Franken decade. Yeah. Al Franken said goodbye to Saturday Night Live in 1980, leaving this show and America all the poorer. But tonight, I am truly honored to welcome Al back to Weekend Update. Please welcome Al Franken.
With an update on the me, Al Franken decade. And it was that Chris was bringing up the me generation. And you know, a movement is crippled and in a bad place when even Al Franken can make fun of you. If even Al Franken finds your ideology of the me generation humorous, there's got to be something wrong with you. It's with that, Chris. Thank you for hanging on the line. So you're about to launch in on the pain and suffering that the me generation has left us holding the bag with. So thanks for hanging on.
Well, I'm going to start out with a positive note. I love the music that came out of that era. I think we were very fortunate to turn on the radio and have, in my mind, next to jazz, probably the best music that we've seen in 100 years, jazz and blues. It's just unbelievable. But anyway, the thing that I'm calling about is, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous has a line in the big book. It goes something like, the definition of self-centeredness, because most of us alcoholics and drug addicts are very self-centered people.
Mm-hmm.
The definition that really rang home with me was, you can tell you're self-centered when you're lying drunk in a ditch and you're looking down on the rest of the world. You know, like you're looking down your nose at the rest of the world and all the problems of the world. That was what really got its hooks into me, to give me a little bit of self-introspection and say, hey, maybe you need to grow up a little bit.
Yeah.
But we got people that have come to this area, Charlottesville. They're very, my dad told me about probably 1973, something like that. He said, Chris, it's just a matter of time before the secret gets out. I said, what are you talking about? I said to him, what are you talking about, Dad? He said, people are going to move here in droves, man, because it's such a nice place. And and he was really, you know, he was really kind of a wise guy. But anyway, we got people that have moved here that want to change the names of the schools. They want to remove our monuments.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing but self-centeredness, man. You know, if you don't like something about an area and it has to do with their culture, you don't lash out at it and change it. You move. You just go somewhere else. But there's, you know, a little crowd of people that moved here, and it's, I guess they think they're better than everybody. I don't know. I feel bad for them, to be honest with you.
Well said.
You know, they keep getting into office, and, you know, people like Lloyd Snook show up, and Larry Banana Sabato, and, you know, I feel bad for them. I really do. But they're part of that me generation, and so am I. People need to stop talking about discriminating against a culture that you move into. You need to stop it. And if you can't stop it because you're self-centeredness, then move.
You know, it's funny, Chris, you mentioned that because, you know, these are the same people who will go on and on and on against American empire, the nation building, like, oh, we went into Iraq. They just voted to end the MAUF authorizations for both Iraq wars yesterday. And they said, oh, you just wanted to go in there and make a little mini America. You just wanted to go and make them change their culture into mini America. And they'll these are the same people who will bounce up and down on their little bouncy balls and go on and on about this American empire and how we just want to whip a little capitalism on cultures that don't want it. Yet they'll come into a city and say, oh, this is wrong. Where I grew up in New Jersey is nothing like this. And I presume, of course, because I'm shallow and thin-skinned, you weren't talking about me when you were talking about people who come here and try to change things. I'm trying to put it back. I feel bad. I'm embarrassed to be in that group.
I think you were, you know, trying to talk to a gentleman with a bullhorn.
Mm.
You were trying to defend something in Charlottesville, and a young man with a bullhorn happened again. I think something like that happened, but yes, he was treating you very with very little respect. And you know, these people, it's they're discriminating against us, and they scream a lot about discrimination. They're like, you know, that's how they got into the position they're in. They were saying, oh, you all are discriminating against so and so and so and so, and then they get the taste of the power, and then they start discriminating. Well, let me tell you something. Since Jesus Christ was resurrected, that the people that follow him have been pulling humanity out of the ditch ever since then. And there's nothing that's come close.
Yep, his words.
So, you know, the Ten Commandments have pulled a lot of humanity out of the dregs of barbarism. I mean, come on.
And
you don't have any better idea.
But it's also, you know, what I find so compelling, you know, aside from obviously the notations in the Ten Commandments, is a reminder. And you talk about, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous and what they teach you, because, you know, their premise isn't that you're perfect and you just made a mistake. It's that you have this issue and you have to deal with it. If you read the Ten Commandments, one of the things that always strikes me is we had problems 5,000 years ago with lying, cheating, stealing, murdering. So you know, the arrogance of we is that we've invented all these things. Well, these are the oldest problems in mankind, and there's a rule book to deal with it, to give us the toolkits to fight our natural inclinations to greed and wrath and envy and all of the licentiousness and all the things that will pull at us that were put there by the deceiver to break us so that he could win our souls is very, very compelling, but also very easy if you realize it and you don't put yourself first. You put the person you're talking to first. Even when the head coach Starz' son was bullhorning me, hey, hey, ho, ho, white supremacists have to go, even though I was there, I was the only one there with any black people in my group. While he was doing that, I was trying to help him. I was so desperately trying to get him to see how silly it was for him to be calling the group that was the only group there with any black people in it white supremacists.
Mm.
But he didn't want to listen.
So I tell you, I think it's a big deal when people don't read history. And what's even worse is people that want to keep you from reading your history.
Amen to that, brother.
And that's what I get these kind of people are.
Right, because 5,000 years ago.
I would be right there with them, Joe. Believe me, right there with them.
You have to understand
and learn the humility. You know?
Well, but that's it. But that's why I say it's so important to realize and the hubris that we have is that we've invented these problems. No, we didn't invent these problems. This has been bubbling up in us ever since. I appreciate it, my friend. Good stuff. Thanks for hanging on the line.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for letting me talk. Take care.
And of course, you know, for all the folks who feel like, you know, they're helping a cause, that they're doing something, you know, they're moving the dialect. Oh, that we're a part of something. There's a punchline at the end you may not be expecting.
You're leftists in the United States. All these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders, they are instrumental in the process of the subversion, only to destabilize the nation. When their job is completed, they are not needed anymore. They know too much. Some of them, when they get disillusioned, when they see that Marxist-Leninists has come to power, obviously they get offended. They think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. They will be lined up against the wall and shot. But they may
giving Joe Thomas's wife a way to find out where he is every morning. For over 14 years, Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
You know, it's been almost 6 years since I reported on the Al Franken decade, giving tips on what you can do for me, Al Franken. And you know, a lot of well-meaning people come up to me and say, Al, is it still the Al Franken decade? Yes, it is. You see, after leaving the original Saturday Night, you know, the one with all the incredibly talented people, people like me, Al Franken.
Who was able to take a program like that starring John Belushi and Gilda Radner and Chevy Chase and grind it to a screaming halt. And I think there's a lesson to be there, but I promise that's the last time I'm going to subject you to the former senator from Minnesota, Al Franken. Because I remember one of my very earliest political thoughts, and I didn't even realize it was a political thought, but there was this 16, 17-year-old sitting in his basement in Bayside, Queens, watching Saturday Night Live, sometimes with friends of mine over. We'd sit in a couple old, easier chairs we had, and we'd watch Saturday Night Live. And then, you know, they'd be, chibugi, 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 knock off Pepsi, Pepsi, Pepsi. And we'd just be laughing and having a grand old time, and then everything would screech to a damn halt. It's time for the Franken and Davis show. And that was like, okay, let's go get a beer. Let's go see if we can raid the freezer and see if there's any ice cream. It was 3 or 4 minutes that were just as absolutely dull as they could be. And why? Because what Al is exposing there, and because he's behind the desk, it's the only thing we can prove that he's exposing, is that the only thing that matters to people like Al Franken are themselves. So Al Franken would come out on the stage in between wonderful skits with Gilda Radner and Nevermind and Garrett Morris, baseball been very, very good to me. And he would screech the show to a halt for a few minutes to pay attention to Al Franken. And it didn't matter whether Al Franken was saying anything that meant anything to you, because it all meant something to Al Franken. And we have a society full of people like that. They and you run into them every day. I know you do. I know you do. You probably ride up and down the radio dial running into some of them, too. Those are the safe ones. I mean, you can build a business model around that kind of self-centeredness. It doesn't last long. But as a societal thing, let's jump back to what we're seeing, where the trans community that has built an identity around their pain, built their identity off of suffering that they're going through rather than trying to address it. And that's the real sad part about where we are as a society in this wokeness that we're in. This fever dream of wokeness has left us, instead of addressing problems, anointing them with gravity, saying, okay, they're problems. It would be like having to borrow from Chris's story, it would be like having a protest group, a lobbying group out there in favor of alcoholism. Don't stigmatize the alcoholic. They'd be protesting outside of every AA meeting. They'd have pictures. Oh, gosh. And now I'm forgetting the man who founded Alcoholics Anonymous. I apologize for that. He was one of those names that I used to be able to. I'll figure it out in a second, which is modern code for I'll Google it while I'm talking with you. But, they'd have pictures of him burned in effigy. They treat Alcoholics Anonymous like they treat the National Rifle Association. Who are you to tell us we're not supposed to be falling down drunk in the gutter? That's what we've become in so many places. Somebody who hates the living existence of themselves is told, that's okay. We can work with that. We can make that a campaign. And nobody likes pain. My gosh. Nobody likes pain. Nobody likes having issues. Nobody likes, hearing their parents argue about them in the middle of the night. Yeah, okay, that was a small confession. You just learned a little bit about what makes me me. But I didn't go out and start a protest movement about it. You do something about it. You do self-examination. You become self-aware rather than self-centered. There's a big difference, though it sounds synonymous. But that's how we wind up with the activist group of LGBTQ trans community getting ready to hold violent and aggressive incursions, some would say insurrections, outside of the U.S. Supreme Court this week. Because we're covering this story in Nashville incorrectly. And meanwhile, people in the same pain that drove this person to just an abject act of horror and murder goes untreated in so many other people, because now, even more so than before, we're not allowed to say that. Now, you can take to the Charlottesville Reddit page and write whatever you will about me, but I feel like being vested in my faith and my self-awareness that having pain and not doing anything about it is one problem. Having pain and turning it into your persona, that's another.
No need for any eccentric billionaire to buy this social media outlet, amplifying your comments every morning for 15 years. Joe Thomas in the Morning on WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the Morning, and, it struck me, we're discussing, turning pain into persona, And in both chats with Chris and Dr. Clark this morning and so many of you over the last few days, and especially as we watch this abstract marching towards Washington in an insurrection of people who don't want us to report on the fact that this was somebody in the trans community that went and shot up a Christian school, killing 9-year-olds. And there's a reasonable, though, you know, the investigation is still apparently ongoing. That's why the public hasn't been shown the manifestos. We can watch the body cam footage of the assault on, I guess that was the library or somebody, some atrium at the Covenant School in Nashville. We can actually watch the shooting of this murderer on Twitter and Facebook, and I presume TikTok. Sure, TikTok is feeding it to everybody. But we can't read the person's manifesto that they wrote that might give a lie to the idea that they only did this because she had access to guns. But it's the denial. It's the old joke, you know, denial is not just a river in Egypt. But it's these things that make us unique. And I worry about this tribalist society, because we've talked about tribalism as it manifests as critical race theory and curriculums. And, you know, you are all bad because you are all white, and you are all oppressed because you are all black, and you can't achieve anything unless the white man gives it to you. I mean, these messages are just stunning, and we're allowing for them, and we're fighting for them. Do you realize what you're fighting for? This is the crazy place that the Groucho Marxism has left us. Well, if Glenn Youngkin wants kids taught real history, I'm against it. I want kids taught that they can imagine that they're a unicorn because Glenn Youngkin's against it. I've told you this before. I'll tell you it again. Defining yourself by what you're against is almost as bad as defining yourself by the things that cause you great psyche-bending pain. Don't you think? Am I off base here? Again, not a psychological professional, though I've seen my share. Again, little sneak peeks into the childhood of Joe Thomas in the morning. I certainly know many. I've become friends with many. Not on a professional level, on a personal level. So I know plenty of people who ply the trade, and teachers and social workers and OTs and all these folks who work with people day in and day out. And never mind the clergy, the ministers that do things that are unheard of, like Joe Varroxa, Chaplain Joe, going into the jails and saving souls. People who, you know, long since could take their pain and just turn it into their persona. Mark DeLoach, you know, reaching out via the radio to find as many people as he can with the message of you can be forgiven and you can turn it around. I mean, what is more holistic than the idea of, okay, so things have gone sideways for a while. Today's a new day. It's one of the compelling things about getting up at 2:30 in the morning. Although if you had asked the 17-year-old Joe Thomas if he ever expected to be up at 2:30 in the morning, I would have chuckled and said, yeah, I'll just be getting home. But mornings are that resurrective time as we head into Easter. I mean, that's every morning is like a little mini Easter, isn't it? All the excrement that hit your air handler the night before is yesterday's news. Let's get into today. But that's not the society that we're corrupting ourselves into. It's this tribalist idea where, you know, your pain is no longer something I have any right to say, hey, can I help you with that? Oh, no, you're told, as Dr. Clark said, Jojo. If you say, I think we need to try to help you get past it. Oh, you're denying who I am. No, we're not. It's just like I said during the real conflagration of the Black Lives Matter movement. And so many of us were grappling with, what do you say to somebody who's hitting you with Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, because of course Black Lives Matter. And it struck me, perhaps unique because in my radio training, I was taught that you almost guaranteedly are sitting by yourself. Don't look around. Don't look around and say, how do you know that? Don't look at your cat and say, well, my cat's here. 99 and change percent of all people who consume radio are sitting by themselves. So maybe knowing that, doing this for 36 years now, has mainly made me keenly aware of the individualism that is the uniqueness of America. The whole country is based on the fact that you can do as you see fit this morning, as long as you don't impede somebody else's right to do as they see fit. You know, the whole don't bear false witness against your neighbor. What did John Adams say about a moral society?
We have been around for almost 90 years and not a sign of any slowing down.
There is nothing wrong with America that cannot be cured by
WCHV.
What is right with America?